me from here. I didn't ask to be broken. I didn't ask you to stroke my hair or treat me like a worthless token. But my skin is thick and my mind is strong. I am built like my father was. I've done nothing wrong. So free me. I just wanna feel what life should be. I just want enough space to turn around and face the truth.
So kia ora koutou katoa. Welcome to this week's episode of Safe and Sound, New Zealand's only animal rights radio show. My name's Katrina McLennan, and it's my great pleasure to host this pre-election episode of Safe and Sound. We're talking to the political parties about their animal policies in the run-up to the September 23 election. On the website animalagenda2017.org.nz, you can look at a table and see which parties have the best and worst animal policies. You can also follow the Facebook page, Animal Agenda Aotearoa. Now, let's welcome Labor's animal spokesperson, Trevor Mallard. Kia ora, Trevor. Welcome to the program.
Kia ora, Katrina.
Does Labor care about animals?
We really do care. I think they're important from a number of angles. You know, just from a straight humanity point of view, animals are important, and there's lots of evidence about societies and individuals who treat animals well being kinder and better, and so at that level. But there's also international reputational things. I think it's part of a big, clean, green, pure image that it's really important that we don't do things which are regarded as being cruel, because the international perspectives on it will change. And the sort of people who we're trying to impress and to trade with, probably particularly in Europe, but actually increasingly in middle-class parts of really the rest of the world, do think that animals are important. And if they think that animals have been treated cruelly, they're much less likely to buy the product. So there's both a humanitarian and an economic argument for doing things properly.
Which Labor MPs and candidates, apart from you, are committed to improving animal welfare?
Well, I think there's quite a big group of people who are, you know, who are very keen on it. And I mean, I've had quite a lot of discussions, for example, with Ruth Dyson and Phil Twyford. They're both people who, you know, who I check out my views with, and when people are doing questionnaires. And Ruth's had the advantage of chairing the Government Administration Select Committee, where a number of pieces of work have been done over the years. And Phil has a, you know, has really good gut instincts in the area, and that's something which is very useful as well.
When will Labor's animal policy be announced?
We're not proposing to do like a formal policy launch. One of the things that we decided as a party after the last election was essentially that we had too much policy, that we had a whole pile of really detailed stuff over a whole pile of areas, and actually it got people sort of like confused. So what we decided to do in this area is to go to the meetings, form positions, answer questionnaires like from Animal Agenda Aotearoa, and get our views out that way rather than doing a formal policy with a launch and everything attendant with it. I mean, there's debate around the politics about what the best way of doing things are, but there's a real attempt on the part of the Labor Party is to focus in on a few core issues which have to do with poverty, homelessness, disparity, and issues like that, and as well as mental health. So we're trying not to divert away in our policy while still being there with the answers to the questions that people are interested in the area want to have answered.
Labor doesn't support a commissioner for animals, but I know when we talked in 2014, you were keen on a minister for animals. Can you just explain your rationale for that?
Yes, I think I'm a former Minister of State Services, and I get a bit concerned with a bureaucracy which keeps on growing and growing, with lots and lots of different agencies which are often ineffectual. I think the important thing is that there is currently a real conflict in the role of the Minister of Primary Industries, because he or she theoretically have both a sort of like a pro-production mandate and at the same time have responsibility for animal welfare. And there's an innate conflict between those. And I think it's important, and the Labor Party's view is it is important to have someone else who sort of has the eyes of animal welfare right up there at the ministerial level, rather than setting up another commissioner with two or three people who I think would be less likely to be effective.
If Labor leads the next government, will there be a Minister for Animals in Cabinet?
I can't commit to in Cabinet because some of the ministers aren't, and none of us yet can say what form the government will take, whether, you know, whether you'll remember that there have been arrangements with in the past with ministers who are not in Cabinet who have actually very serious responsibilities. And I point to Winston Peters in the last Labor government, who was Minister of Foreign Affairs but not in Cabinet. So I can't answer for the future Prime Minister about where it sits, but a minister is what we're committing to.
Also, when we spoke in 2014, you said that abolishing factory farming was front and centre of the agenda, and you thought that a lot of progress on abolishing factory farming of pigs could be made by 2017, and that by 1 January 2017, a coherent policy on working to abolish factory farming of hens could be produced, and it would be much better than Nationals. Where is Labor at in 2017 with abolishing factory farming and looking particularly at hens and pigs?
In a very similar position, plus 3 years is where we're at. We know that you can abolish. We also know that there needs to be a reasonable time scale to get the economics of the industry right. Since then, there's actually been quite a lot more industry leadership, but also some scandals in the area. So, you know, we know that one of the supermarket chains is heading towards, as far as eggs are concerned, is heading in completely the right direction with a specified time scale. But we also know that, you know, to put it bluntly, there's been some producers who have been bullshitting, or there've been some wholesalers who've been doing that. So what we want to do is to give some clear notice, a range of time ranges for each of them. And what I've been doing, you know, quite a lot of visiting in the last 3 years, and we've been indicating to people that it's coming and that people should be very careful not to commit to major investments that are not convertible to free range.
Would banning farrowing crates for pigs be able to happen quite soon, do you think?
That's really part of the detail that we'd want to work through with a working party as far as the timing. Farrowing crates are, you know, my gut instinct is that they can be quite a quick win. Or crates which are optional. You know, I mean, I've looked at a number of farms where pigs can have the choice of wandering into the crates if they want to, or they can go out if they want to. And if that's the approach, then I'd be comfortable with that. But obviously there have been a number of exposés of pretty appalling relationships, but situations where sows have been just kept in awful conditions.
In relation to rodeo, you are proposing to ban flank straps, the use of calves under 12 months old, electric prods and rope burning. What do you anticipate will be the impact of that?
I think there'll be a really big call on the part of people who run rodeos as to whether they want to continue or not. You know, it's part of our focus, or, you know, the essence of our focus on animal cruelty is to get rid of the cruel practices. And what we have said is that, you know, some people say, well, that will be the end of rodeo. And if you can't do rodeo without being cruel, well, then that will be the end of it. Other people say, well, actually, we think we can do rodeos without those things. It won't be as attractive as some of them regard it, but that in the end will be their call. And the thing to remember is that just about all of this stuff, not the electric prods, but not using calves, not using flicks, rope burning or flank straps, that's been the law in the United Kingdom since 1934.
We're a little bit behind.
we're a little bit behind there. And it may be that it's an activity that dies. I've never been to one. don't know what they're like. I know that some people like them, but it's you know, the world moves on, and it could well be that it is I'm a sports spokesperson as well. I don't really want to call it a sport. I don't know what it is. Entertainment, I suppose. It might be a dying form of entertainment.
You say that Labor would ban live exports except for breeding purposes under strict conditions involving vets and air transport. So we wouldn't in future see large-scale shipments of sheep and cows?
That's right. I think we want to reserve the, you know, one of the things New Zealand is very good at is breeding particular types of sort of like very useful animals which can then be used in other countries for breeding purposes. Now, one of my colleagues or a couple of my colleagues are more involved in the agriculture area say, well, they're the very animals that we shouldn't be exporting because it's not in the interests of the economy. But there are some specialist breeders who can make a big difference for our economy by breeding animals which can then be used offshore. And the key from my perspective, from an animal cruelty perspective, is to make sure, I mean, one is just that the transporting of them, to make sure that they're okay, but also that where they're going is okay. And, you know, the Saudi sheep saga was my understanding is the transportation of the animals was first class, but the subsequent care of them and the environment they're going into was just awful. And so you've got to get both of them right.
You said in response to the Animal Agenda Aotearoa questionnaire that Labor wouldn't ban animal testing but would work to massively reduce it. What does that exactly mean, and what specifically would you do?
We've been having some quite good discussions over the last couple of years, really, with Pete Hodgson, one of our former colleagues, who's taken quite a lot of leadership in the anti-cruelty area when he's a Member of Parliament and since. And what he tells us, and I believe him, and I've actually got family who are no longer in the country but have been involved in medical research, is that as computers have developed the ability to do what they described as bench experimentation, where they model things without using animals, has massively increased. So things which are really important to human health can be tested and modelled without the use of animals, much, much more now than they could even 3 or 4 years ago. And what we want to do with Pete is to work with a group of scientists, if you like, with consciences, to work on the ethics approval systems to get things really tightened up. Now, the good news is actually now, in most of our universities, they've made enormous progress. And I'm not saying it's altruistic. It's probably because the cost of doing the changes, the increasing awareness of cruelty to animals and some of the practices has meant that fewer scientists want to do the work, which in turn makes it less economic to do it that way. But whatever the reasoning, there's quite a head of steam in the right direction.
That sounds like a good place to leave it. Thank you very much for your time, Trevor.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That was Trevor Mallard, Labor's animal spokesperson. It's time to welcome Ian McKelvey to speak on behalf of the National Party. Kia ora, Ian. Welcome to the program. Now, I'll just mention that you're in an airport, so if people are hearing a bit of noise, that's what it is. Will National be releasing an animal policy before the election?
Not a specific animal policy. We clearly have a whole lot of policies related to animal welfare and all of the issues that flow on from there, and we think that'll be where we'll be at with it. It's a very good policy, world-leading actually, and that pretty much covers a lot of the animal issues that we think are important.
What are the key points? What are the most important animal issues for National?
I think all animal issues are important for National. I'm obviously from a New Zealand Inc. perspective, the way we treat our animals in this country is hugely important. It's internationally watched at all times, and because we're part of a very big food infrastructure around the world, and animals play a very important role in that. It's hugely important that we're on top of all sorts of animal welfare issues, and I think also we're a very big, our country is a very big, we have a very large number of pet animals and animals that are domestic animals. Basically, they use them for all sorts of reasons by families and people. So it's hugely important.
What action does National plan to take over the next 3 years to improve the lives of animals in Aotearoa?
Oh, well, we've clearly reviewed and rebuilt the Animal Welfare Bill in the last couple of years in Parliament, and we think that NAWAC and its associated MPI and SPCA and the other people associated with animal welfare in New Zealand have a very good tool with which they can use to manage the process around animals and the treatment of animals in New Zealand. There's always going to be, unfortunately, in any sphere of life, some people who don't behave as well as they should towards animals, and clearly we need to have the tools, and have got the tools through the renewed Animal Welfare Bill and the regulations that drop out of that to manage those people, provided we catch them and then prosecute them.
Why doesn't National support banning rodeos?
Because we think that the rodeo situation is managed by the Animal Welfare Bill and NAWAC, and their relationship with the Rodeo Society in New Zealand. We think they're implementing regulations and rules around rodeo which protect those animals.
The government is phasing out battery cages for hens and replacing them with colony cages by 2022. But the animals are going to have extra space only the size of a credit card, and their welfare isn't going to be much improved. Isn't it just costing the industry millions of dollars without achieving much by doing this?
No, I don't think so. I think it does achieve a bit. I think what we've got to realise with respect to hens particularly is that there's more factors to it than just a battery cage, and that health and the welfare of those animals is hugely important. And I think that the industry is getting much better at managing that in a cost-effective nature. And so what could have happened and what was predicted by some to happen originally was that the price of eggs would dramatically rise. I think the industry's got very much better at managing their way through that stuff. They're very good at what they do. And consequently, we will see a little bit of increase in cost, but it won't be significant, and I think the industry's managed it very well.
Will National ban farrowing crates for pigs?
Well, that's, again, part of the Animal Welfare Bill, and that's the thing that gets phased in the natural course of events. It's a more difficult challenge in some ways than the battery hen one, because there's quite a lot of... a lot of the reason that these things were used initially, and I'm not a supporter of the way they were used initially, but then we change our thoughts in life. The reason they were bought in the manner they were was to protect piglets, and so it was it's sort of a two-edged sword in a way whilst we can still get that protection in other ways, it like everything else, costs a little bit more and is a bit more difficult, but nonetheless we're getting very good at it, so we improve these things as time moves on.
The Ministry for Primary Industries is charged with investigating and enforcing animal welfare. Some people see quite a conflict of interest there, because obviously the top priority for the ministry is supporting and increasing production and exports. Some parties are suggesting that a Commissioner for Animal Welfare or a Minister for Animal Welfare should be created so that MPI no longer has that conflict of interest and can focus on its key goals. National doesn't support that. Why is that?
I think primarily because we see no conflict. I don't see how there would be a conflict between those two things, because actually we've got no market if we don't look after animals, and I think I said that earlier. So there's really no conflict between the two, and I think that, you know, we could have a commissioner for all sorts of things, and at the end of the day, it just adds another layer of bureaucracy, and I don't think we'd get any better protection for animals out of it. And I, And I guess I think the hugely important thing for New Zealand is that we protect all forms of animals in the best manner we can, and at the same time enable our society to continue to operate in the manner that it sort of historically has, because whether we like it or not, we're primarily a food-producing country who has an awful lot to do with animals. Well, an awful lot's not the word, but who has a great deal to do with animals, and we've got to respect them as well.
Are you concerned about the low prosecution rates by MPI in relation to rodeo and hen and pig welfare when they've been presented with very detailed and quite shocking video footage of poor conditions and treatment of animals?
No, but I say that because the updated regulations and the recent passing of the new Animal Welfare Act enabled MPI to have a much stronger and a much better resourced compliance regime. And so I think we'll see a better performance, and we're primarily going to see a better performance simply because they're better resourced, the regulations are much stronger and stricter, and NAWAC has looked at all of this stuff, and I think they've come up with a set of recommendations and regulations that at this point in time serve our community pretty well.
Does National intend to increase MPI's funding for animal welfare?
Well, that happens on an annual basis, or not annual, but it happens regularly. And I'm sure that future budgets will manage that process according to the demands MPI have. And of course, we have the SPCA involved in there as well. And they perform a very valuable service, and one that I guess is challenged financially, like many other organisations in New Zealand are as well. So there is a need for continued updating of finance available to that sector.
Do you think the current law, which bans live exports for slaughter but permits live exports for breeding, creates somewhat of a loophole which is sometimes exploited by exporters? For example, there was a shipment to Mexico and an agriculture professor said that an earlier shipment of animals was all barbecued for village festivals within a short time of arriving in the country. Do you think that law needs a bit of looking at again?
Well, again, I think the animal welfare regulations should be able to deal with that, and the passing of the recent amended bill gave them a much better opportunity to manage that sort of process. And I think as the food markets evolve, there's lots of parts of the world are going to have to find other ways of running those festivals and whatever else they do, because it certainly isn't in our interest to be exporting livestock for that kind of end result.
National's response to Animal Agenda Aotearoa said it didn't support banning testing on animals. Do you see it as a role for the government to be encouraging different methods of testing when there are so many methods available now, and also a large body of evidence about the inaccuracy and danger of animal testing when applied to humans?
In answer to the first part of the question, I think that, again, we've gone a long way down the path of finding alternative ways of dealing with this testing, and I think we're pretty good at it. And I think, in fact, there's a petition before Parliament right now on the eventual outcome for animals that are used in testing processes. And we've got to remember, when we look at the number of animals that are used in testing, many of these are used in what we call field trials, and so they're like you and I testing an ice cream, basically, and literally is, because a large number of the animals, particularly the bigger animals and the farm animals that are used in those testing processes, are used to test new products for health and well-being of the animals. So yes, I think we do need to move away from it, and we are quite quickly moving away from it.
National doesn't plan to ban greyhound racing and says it's a successful industry supporting many jobs across the country. Have you seen the footage of cruelty and ill treatment of greyhounds here and in Australia?
Well, I've seen the footage, but I don't really have a useful comment to make on that. I mean, I've watched greyhound racing over the years, and I accept, like anything we do, there's always going to be some accidents or injuries, and I do think that we have a pretty good organisation set up in New Zealand to care for greyhounds after their racing career. And in fact, you walk around the streets and you see many of them around the streets on a daily basis, and so I think that they're pretty good. And whilst I've seen that footage, I've seen a lot of footage in my lifetime of all sorts of things, and you just got to accept that you can make what you want out of footage.
National inserted a declaration of sentience into the Animal Welfare Act when it was amended. What does that in practice improve for animals?
That's a very good question. I would hope it doesn't improve anything for animals, because I would have hoped that people who have animals in their care or as a friend or a pet or in any other form would have always treated animals in that manner. But I think what it was meant to do was it was supposedly going to ensure that animals were treated like your friend or your child or your neighbour. And I'm pretty sure that most people who have to do with animals do treat them just like that, in fact better in some cases.
That seems like a good place to leave it. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem. And good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's all we've got time for in this episode. Next time, we'll speak to Richard Prosser about New Zealand First's animal policies and to new United Future leader Damien Light about his party's policies. Thanks for listening, and please go to animalagenda2017.org.nz for more information about the party's animal policies. You can also follow us on Facebook at Animal Agenda Aotearoa.
You've been listening to Safe and Sound, an animal rights program recorded at Free FM in Hamilton and broadcast through stations in the New Zealand Community Access Radio sector. You can follow the show via their Facebook page, which is Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast. And you can download and listen to past episodes by going to accessradio.org or through Apple Podcasts.